But you know what I mean. So, and we're live! What's up, everybody? Good morning. Good morning, guys. Welcome to our fucking Wrestle Kingdom 16 post show, day one edition here. I'm here with Jameis Mooney. We've been a long night, man. We're here at 7 a.m. Eastern time zone. We just finished the watch. I've been to watch along. I've been talking for 4 hours. I just finished Lightful's watch along on their Twitch covering the show, and that was fun. But, yeah, guys, welcome. Join. We'll cover the results.
This is my second post show for the site in the last 8 hours.
That's right. You were on the Raw.
I also did the Twitter feed for all of New Japan. So if you enjoyed that, it's courtesy of yours truly.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing that for us. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, man. And yeah, guys, appreciate everybody check us out. If you're watching this video, make sure you have subscribed to our YouTube channel. If you haven't, hopefully you are. Give the video a thumbs up. That always helps us out. We appreciate that. This will also be available on all our audio platforms as well, too. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Follow us on Twitter, too.
Yeah, follow us on the Twitter. We're on Spotify. We're on all your other major podcast networks. And if we're not on what you use, let me know, and I'll try to make sure the shows get up on that. Get all the little plugs out of the way. But yeah, no, follow us on our Twitter as well. It's at BodySlamNet on Twitter. But Jameis, let's talk about these results tonight. Let's go over the show. We know it opened up the pre-show. We'll talk about the pre-show too. It opened with the Rumble there, Rambo. And let's see if I can find the results here. I know that it came down to the winner of that went to four. It went to the final four, right? And then
from there they go on to Russell. It was Shima, Chase Owens,
Minoru Suzuki,
and Tor Yano.
Yeah, and Yano came in last. He was the final entrant, correct? And Chase was the first.
I wasn't paying attention much to the pre-show. Came in around the time that Tatsumi Fujinami came in, which was dope.
Gotcha. Yeah, Chase started. He was the Iron Man again. He came in at number one, survived all the way to the end, to the final four. So he goes on tomorrow night, and the winner of that will be that four-way, I guess, will be the winner of the 2022 King of Pro Wrestling Cup trophy deal. I guess. So who do you think – well, with that –
Which Toriano's defending.
Defending, yeah, because he had retired last year's trophy after winning it back from – Chase had it at one point, and then he lost it, and then somebody else had it, and then Yano won it back, I think. But who do you think is going to walk out tomorrow night? We'll do a little predictions as well here. Who do you think will take it the four-way tomorrow night for the trophy?
It's an easy answer, but I think it's Minoru Suzuki.
You think so? I'm gonna tell you right now. I think it's my man Chase Owens. I think it's going to be Chase. I think Chase
says the guy wearing a Chase Owens shirt.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not biased, maybe at all, but or maybe I know things. Who knows?
Didn't manage him at all. Never.
Nah, not biased. No, yeah, that's my boy. I'm going with him tomorrow night. I think he's going to come out. I predict big things for him coming up in the next year for sure. But
he's the crown jewel, man.
He is the crown jewel. You don't get that nickname without a reason. What? So then we had a little bit of a break. But the show opened up was the opener was what Yo and Show, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Yo.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yo defeated Show. It was 12 minutes 32 seconds. It looks like the duration of that one. What'd you think of that match, man? I enjoyed it. That was a hot opener. It was a pretty good, solid. I mean, it's what you'd expect.
I thought it was decent. I enjoyed it for what it was. I didn't think it was one of the better Wrestle Kingdom openers, which maybe that's not fair to Yo and Show because of the high standard that Wrestle Kingdom usually sets. For the entire show, I felt like the show itself really started slow until around the fourth match of the main card, which was Narita and Shibata. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. We're talking about I
enjoyed the matches, but it just started slow to me, which most New Japan shows do with the way they pace their shows. Yo looked really good.
Yo looked good, yeah.
Show looked really good, too, but Yo looked awesome, and he's a very solid vet, and I hope he gets more due because he's a fun worker.
Yeah, I agree.
Show's the same way. They're around the same age. They came up around the same time.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the storyline a little bit too there. I like the they were a tag team and now they're split, the feud, and I guess Show joined the Bullet Club, right? He's in that House of House of Torture. House of Torture. Little splinter flag. Dick to Go, as we were calling him in the chat, or the watch along. It's not Dick Togo, it's Dick to Go. Dick to Go.
So did you see Kate's tweet?
Probably came from all of her tweets came from inside jokes from the watch along. So I'm sure that like I was involved in it at the original part, but if I didn't see it, one are you talking about specifically?
Let me go find it.
Was it one of the Dick Togo ones or Dick to Go?
It was.
Yeah. There was, if any of you guys are watching this right now and you're up tomorrow night, jump on the Fightful Twitch stream. Check me out. I'll be there again tomorrow night watching it with everybody. I'm not sure who all will be there, but we had a good time tonight. It was fun. We talked about a lot of shit that wasn't what was happening on the screen, as usual, but it was fun. I told some stories that were probably unnecessary for their fan base, but, you know, whatever. That's nothing. Story time with Cassidy is like...
I saw you arguing about Harley Race.
She and I always argue and joke about that. That was a running inside joke. It wasn't even really an argument. It was just that, like, she messaged Harley Race and was talking about old matches. I was like, oh, but you need to watch his managerial run with Vader. I was just emphasizing how awesome that was. And she was just, and that was what people didn't understand. But anyway, so yeah, Show and Yo, that was good. It was a good opener. I thought it was good. But like you said, you thought it was a little lackluster with what they've had before. But so the next match
fair to the two guys in the match.
Yeah. But the next match was the trios match, the six-man. We had Bullet Club featuring Kenta, Taiji Ishimori, and El Fantasmo. They defeated Tanahashi and the mega coaches of Taguchi and Rocky Romero. They won by disqualification. I didn't actually see what was the disqualification on that. How did that happen? I don't really remember off the top of my head, honestly.
So Kenta introduced the kendo stick, and then...
Okay, I remember that, yeah.
Naito beat the shit out of him with it.
Okay, and that got the ref stoppage. Ref saw that, and that was the end. That was fun. What did you think of that match? Yeah. What were your thoughts or what were your takes? Did you have any notes that you wrote down on that one?
I'm going to find... I tweeted one thing. I tweeted that El Fantasmo and Taiji Ishimori are excellent in-match showmen. Everything they do makes the audience feel something, whether this is in their physical exchanges, their taunting of the opponent, the psychology... or the way they work the crowd, stuff like that. That was my... Now, that shouldn't be a takeaway because I knew this heading in. I'm a big El Fantasmo guy. Big El Fantasmo guy. I've always enjoyed Ishimori's work. But of course, they're the guy. They're the ones... They stand out in every match they're in. Because they're two extremely talented people, and I really enjoyed what they added to just the entire match. And that was probably my least favorite match on the show.
Why was it your least favorite?
Six guys in it, but it just felt pointless to me anyway. I didn't care for the finish. I didn't think it was true to the Naito character.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was true to his character. I'm just not or Tanahashi's character. I've been saying Naito on a. I'm on zero sleep. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. None of us have slept, bro. We're doing a podcast at 7:30 in the morning. We're not sleeping tonight.
I didn't think it was true to Tanahashi's character. I felt like a lot of it was just kind of thrown. It felt thrown together. It was just my least favorite match in the show by a decent margin. Tanahashi's entrance was dope, though.
Yeah,
as usual.
It usually is. As usual.
I sent out a tweet at the end of the show after the Shingo and Okada entrances that I don't think there's a company that does better at making everybody feel important in the presentation of their entrances and that kind of telling you everything you need to know about a character within their entrances on big events than New Japan. They're always excellent at that stuff, and that's always a big takeaway for me.
I gotcha. Yeah, let me fix my headset. Is bothering me. It's about to fall off my head. The match served its purpose. Like I didn't really. I'm not as up on the storylines that were going on with some of the matches as to how like that even became to be a match. So I'm sure there's some story involved that made it.
I'm gonna be real with you, and I know four of those guys are wrestling tomorrow. No, that's the next match. In my bad, but.
No, they're all those guys are wrestling tomorrow too.
Japan, because Kenta and Tanahashi are wrestling tomorrow. I know that.
Yeah, tomorrow we've got Ishimori and Phantasmo versus Robbie Eagles and Tiger Mask versus Taguchi and Rocky Romero. So four of those guys are in the same match tomorrow out of the six. So.
Okay, so since the start of the pandemic, I used to be heavy into New Japan. Mm-hmm. I used like everything about the show was just. Firing on all cylinders. Once the pandemic hit and they started throwing stuff against the wall, I kind of fell out for a bit.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the watch along that we did. That like I kind of related the pandemic being to like I don't know if you remember this, but you remember like the writer's strike seasons of TV a few years back, like
shows like mid-2000s.
When shows like Heroes and other shows just like their writers were on strike, and they was like, well, we're gonna keep going anyway. So they brought in new people.
If you look at a show like Prison Break and you look at their seasons, like there's one season that has like half as many episodes as the other, and it's because of the writer's strike.
And it's not good half the time too. Yeah, so this is similar. So it's like the same thing. I kind of felt like that with the pandemic. They did what they had to do, but yeah, it lost some people, I think, too, as far as.
Yeah, like I'm just now getting back into New Japan regularly. Like I checked out their mix shows throughout, but my primary source of New Japan was actually New Japan Strong during the pandemic.
Okay.
Like, gotcha. For whatever reason, I've really enjoyed that show.
Yeah, no, it's been good.
Like, Carl Fredericks is awesome. Chris Dickinson is my dude. Like, they had a nice, fun roster. Tom Lawler's always great. Like, New Japan Strong is a solid show.
Yeah, but so yeah, that the six-man match, like I said, we had Bullet Club coming out ahead. By disqualification.
Next was United Empire.
I'm getting to that. It was 8 minutes and 40 seconds, though, so I was just getting to the time. I was spending the time. But, yeah, next up was another six-man match. We had the United Empire, Ospreay, Great O'Conn, and Jeff Cobb. They defeated LIJ with Naito, Sonata, and Bushi. They won by pinfall. 9 minutes and 27 seconds. What did you think of this one? What were your thoughts on this match?
So, I had two things I pointed out. That during this match that I wanted to make a point on. One tweet I sent out was, despite Will Ospreay being arguably the guy in New Japan, it's a Jeff Cobb that stands out in this group due to how protected he is. Book your roster to be credible, and dudes like Cobb's won't feel like just muscle for the group leader, and props to New Japan for that. Because too many times you get a guy like Cobb and he's used it solely as muscle, but he's credible enough to where it doesn't feel like that. Okay. And he can do his own thing. And he's still, you know, he's going to get shit done. And I really like that. And then my other point on the actual match itself is that the way Great O'Conn sat on Sonata for the cover was certainly one of the more peculiar pinfalls I've seen. And while it doesn't always translate the way he wants it to, Khan deserves so much credit for constantly thinking of innovative offense that we haven't seen before that fits his character, makes his matches stand out. Because I'm not the biggest Khan fan, but every time I watch him, I see something I've never seen before. And I really like that. I respect that. As a fan, I can get into that. Sometimes it doesn't always work for me, but that's okay. Just try it. See if it works. If it doesn't, you don't got to do it again. You know?
Gotcha. Yeah, I like the match. I like Khan. I've liked all of Greater Khan's work, too. I haven't really seen much that I didn't enjoy from him. It's been interesting to see what they've done, like the progression of him, putting him in the stable and the build with him in the United Kingdom. I thought the match was good. I didn't have any real complaints with it.
I did too.
Cobb looked strong. Everybody came out looking pretty good. It's a decent trios match. I mean, nothing really special about it. Nothing. Yeah, it's Tyson. He's been checking us out all night. He's been wondering what the fuck I've been doing up all night watching wrestling and doing shows. But
I would show you my cap, but that would require me moving to another room.
Yeah, he's like 12. He's chilling. But I enjoyed the match, man. I really do. I like LIJ, man. I'm a big Naito guy. I really like Sonata and Bushi. I thought
I do too.
Yeah. I'd like to see Naito return more to the main event role that he used to be.
I would too.
I really miss seeing that, but you know, what can you do?
But you know what's great about it? I was getting a little tired of him in the main event, but now that he's not in it and he hasn't been in a while, I want him back in it, which is why moving him out of it for a little bit served a purpose.
It does.
Because it makes everything that was getting a little tiresome fresh again over time.
Yeah. And the next match, though, this is the one that a lot of
people... My favorite match on the card.
Yeah, and it was a mystery match. We had Shibata versus a mystery opponent, which there's a lot of speculations too. People thought that was going to be... a lot of people were thinking it was going to be somebody, you know, outside, maybe kind of an old guy coming, an older guy coming back.
I had seen a lot of Kenny Omega.
A lot of Omega, or a lot of people
talking about. I had seen a lot of Karrion Kross for some odd reason. Yeah, I didn't get that either.
For storyline reasons, it made sense with what they did. They went with a dojo guy, Ren Narita.
Which, Ren Narita is awesome.
Yeah,
and I'm very happy Ren Narita's the one that got that shot.
And, it's, you know, a teacher-student moment, you know what I mean, a match. So it worked out great for storyline purposes to not just waste that spot on, somebody coming in for a one-off to
You know the weird thing, though? Narita's last match was when he wrestled United Empire with Clark Connors and Carl Fredericks. That was mid-November. He hadn't worked a match since mid-November.
Damn.
So it's not like they randomly had kept him on New Japan Strong, fresh in everybody's mind before putting him up against Shibata. Which I thought made it better for me because I hadn't seen him in a few weeks. By a few weeks, I mean a few months.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed the aspect of it seems like the company wants to protect Shibata, but Shibata goes, I'm the ultimate competitor. I'm the wrestler. Let me wrestle. And I thought that's why Shibata calling off the rules, the catch rules, was a really nice touch because it said, oh, I'm not restricting myself. You can get over it. And it made it feel more authentic.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, watching it, I was like, oh, he's going hard. So I guess he's, like, fully back. Like, he's completely cleared. Like, no light impact.
Somebody replied to me on Twitter and said they need Shibata American Dragon, and I need that match now with no restrictions.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Oh, that would be
cool. I will say it took me a little bit to get straight who was who in this match because they were wearing the exact same fucking gear. They had the exact same haircut. They had the exact same
That bothered me too.
Very light coming in.
It felt like creative wrestlers.
Yeah, you know? But the only difference was Narita didn't have the kick pads. So, like, that was the whole time I was just having to pay attention to who had kick pads and who didn't to figure out who was who in this match.
Yeah.
But that was a trend for a lot of these matches, too, is a lot of guys opposing people had matching gear or same color gear that coordinated. And that's a, you know, that's threw me off a little bit.
I mentioned this on the GCW post show a couple of days ago. That one thing I loved about GCW is that everybody on the show has their own unique look and their own gear. Nobody wears the same gear. New Japan's oftentimes you get a Tanahashi, you get a Takahashi that are different and make their gear stand out, but everybody else on the show does no such thing.
Yeah. But that match, that they went – what, there's 11:46. They went almost 12 minutes with Shibata getting the victory over Narita. I think it was what he got him with a bunch of kicks and then that one really hard running punt kick to the chest. I think, yeah, it was that was the finish. But so, then they had the moment afterwards too in the ring. You know, they little celebration.
That's a fun extended, like, that they need to extend him eventually, and they did. They had the perfect time frame, double what he worked with Sabre. Don't extend him too much, but now he's starting to get back into the groove of getting in ring shape. It was exactly what it needed to be, and it put eyes on Rin Narita, which will put eyes on New Japan Strong, which makes strong more important, and in theory anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. It said that it worked better storyline wise because you're not just having some guy come in for a one off, like, you know, nothing to it. This does more to advance your homegrown talent, your dojo guy, and create a long story there that you can go with in other, you know, for down the road with other ways too. Next matchup was the singles match for the Never Openweight Championship. And it was Tomohiro Ishii defending against Evil with Dick Togo. And the match...
Dick Togo.
Dick Togo. Excuse me. Yeah, Dick Togo. The match ended with Evil getting the pinfall and winning and becoming the new champ. That match,
It was slow for me.
It was full of... We talked about it in, like I said, the watch-along I did with Fightful, that it was a kind of a very overbooked match. There was a lot of, like...
Very
overbooked. Hijinks and shenanigans. It was very overbooked, but, you know, that's been the case.
You know what it reminded me of, though?
Evil. What's that?
And this will pop you. So Kevin Kelly on commentary flat out said, after somebody hits the wrestler with the weapon, you have to hit your own move so it shows in the rule book that your move beat them.
Oh.
It reminded me of Slaughter Warrior when Savage hit Warrior with the scepter at the Rumble. And Slaughter looks down and just decides to drop an elbow drop.
Yeah.
And so he beats him on an elbow drop. Like that Kevin Kelly saying that is what that reminded me of. And I just laughed.
Yeah.
And I think that was my favorite part of the match.
Yeah, the match. This was probably my least favorite match on the card. I'm not gonna lie.
Actually, I said the six man was. This was my least favorite match. Now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't like it either. I felt it was overbooked, but it also wasn't paced well. Like, it just wasn't a fun match in any way for me.
Yeah, it was a little off though. It was kind of felt a little off the rails. It was, like I said, there's just a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff. There's interference all over the place. Referees getting hurt. Referee downs. Missed stuff.
Hard to follow.
Yeah. It was a lot going on. But, you know, new champion. New Never Openweight Champion, Evil. 12 minutes, 10 seconds. Now, do you have any other notes other than that? I think we covered everything on that one pretty much, didn't we? Do you have anything else to add on that Never Openweight match?
I don't.
Okay, cool. I'm going to move on. I just didn't want to cut you off. I felt like I almost cut you off on that one. But next, we had the tag team title match for the IWGP Tag Team Championships.
Am I cutting out for you? Or
nope, you're good. You're cutting out for me? You're good. I'm not. It's probably
okay,
just
you're kind of cutting out for me, so.
Okay. Well, you're good on my end, buddy. Yeah, don't worry about it. Next up was the IWGP Tag Team Championship match. We had Chaos with Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi. They defeated the Dangerous Techers, Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. by pinfall. New champions, 15 minutes and 27 seconds. What did you think about this match, Jameis?
I love Dangerous Techers. Like, they're one of my favorite tag teams in the world. I'm a big Zack Sabre fan. I think Zack Sabre is the best technical wrestler on the planet. It's not close. And I don't think I've ever seen a performer get more out of a lanky body type build than he does, because he's found ways to work that build into his work and make his work better. And that's hard to do when you're very lanky the way he is. Because you know how he's built? He's built like Chris Sale.
The pitcher?
Like, he's built, yeah, the pitcher. He's built like a guy like Chris Sale, who, you know, like, he doesn't look like a pro wrestler. And I think that's part of the reason I've always loved Zack Sabre. But this match was fun from the bell. It was everything it needed to be. I was a little surprised Dangerous Techers didn't get more offense in, but Goto and Yoshihashi's double teams were fun as hell. I really enjoyed it. Sabre had some awesome transitions as usual. Every guy looked good. It went the perfect length for what the match needed, and it felt perfectly paced. It wasn't something I'm going to remember long term, but it was a fun watch. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, yep, new champions.
Like, it was what it was, and it was fun for what it was.
Exactly. It was what it was. And new champions. Like, that's another thing. There's a lot of title changes tonight, and I expected that more tonight than on tomorrow night. When I saw the cards on paper, I kind of had a feeling that was what was going to happen. But now we're getting into the final two, the co-main and the main event. First up, singles match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. We had El Desperado, the champion.
That chop fest was beautiful.
Desperado, he was defending the belt against Hiromu Takahashi, and he defended the belt and defeated him. It was 16 minutes and 18 seconds, it looks like, for the duration on that one. And that match, this is probably my favorite match on the card, I thought. Honestly, this is the one I enjoyed most.
This was my second favorite match on the card, and it's close to my first favorite. My favorite was Ren Narita and Shibata. So,
yeah,
El Desperado is one of my favorite workers in the industry right now. I don't think he gets the love he warrants. I think he's very underappreciated. He is so good at adding nuances and little details to his matches that other wrestlers don't, making things look more painful than other wrestlers do. For example, one takeaway from this match.
It's hard to do that without facial expressions.
Oh, it's hard to get the nuance of the storytelling with the mask.
So that's what I was getting at. He's in a mask, and he portrays that without having that key element to doing that in wrestling, which is facial expressions and just showing emotion. So, I agree with you.
But he makes things look more painful in the way he delivers his offense. Like, one example from this match specifically was when he had Takahashi and a stretch muffler. And he just starts yanking on his arms, which made the move look more painful. And I've probably seen it before, but it's not the usual way to apply the move. It's not the traditional way to do it. So I probably forget what some stuff I've seen. It seems like something Brian Danielson would have done in Ring of Honor against Nigel McGuinness or Paul London or someone like that.
Yeah, put a little extra stank on that muffler.
I thought that was really nice. That was a nice touch. It's just everything El Desperado does is so good, and I don't think we give that guy enough love.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, he gets to keep the championship reign going, so he gets to see a little bit more of El Desperado's run.
Which I'm glad, because Takahashi never needs that belt again.
I don't know about that.
I love Takahashi. I would like to see them move him up the card, because he's held that belt four times, and it's just like there's nothing left for him to do in that division. Like, I would like to see him get more of a shot to expand, to broaden his horizons within New Japan, like, and let other guys get an opportunity with that belt.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like him being the gatekeeper of that division, though, and being the guy that's there, like the one that's, like you said, had that many championships.
He's a very good gatekeeper.
Yeah, he's that long stay guy in that. But, you know, it's so, I mean, you got to move another junior heavyweight guy up every year. I mean, that seems to be the thing. So I don't think you need to move him up yet. You got to keep him down there because they do that every year. Last year it was fucking Ospreay. The year before that it was Takagi. Yeah. The year before that it was fucking whoever. I'm drawing a blank. But you know what I mean. So no, I don't want to move him up. I want him to stay down there right now. I like him being the fucking bar, the bar set for that division. But
yeah,
what do you got? Where you at? What are you thinking? Did you forget what you were going to say?
Main event.
Oh, you're done with that. You're done with IWGP Junior title. That's all we got on that one. All right. No, that was my
title match the year before, like 13, because that's where you were lost. Was wasn't it Kushida as champion that year? And I think Ishimori beat him.
Maybe. Yeah. I love this match. Like I said before, that was my favorite on the match, the card. I loved El Desperado, and I really liked the
The finishing sequence awesome. On
that.
That's
I really liked that finishing sequence on that. I thought was clutch too. But yeah, the main event, this is the one. This is a big one. You know, for the singles match for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, we had Shingo Takagi defending his belt against Kazuchika Okada. And we have a new champion, folks. Okada defeats Takagi to become the new.
I'm actually upset about it. I just needed to put on a New Japan shirt.
Yeah, I was a little upset about it too, man. I was like, damn it, another Okada win.
I will say, I enjoyed the story a lot. I think so. I love Kazuchika Okada. I think he's he's a special athlete. I think he's the greatest in New Japan history. Mm-hmm. But I just think I didn't want him winning this match. But one issue I've always had with Okada's work is that the Rainmaker isn't always as protected as it should be. And I feel like this match really made the Rainmaker look awesome because the entire story was based around how he's so desperate to hit it and Shingo keeps getting out of it. And then he finally hits it and he's too exhausted to capitalize.
Yeah. But so then he hit it in one.
It made the finisher. Yes. So the one time he went for the cover off of it is when he won. Yeah. So it made it strengthened the finisher that needed to be strengthened a long time ago. It's not completely there yet, but it's a start to rebuilding that.
Well, at the same time, when though,
Okada hits his finisher.
Well, at the same time, though, Okada kicked out of Shingo's twice.
I didn't like
so
that.
You're protecting one. You're protecting one, and then totally just you know, shitting on the other finisher. So that's like to praise the protection of one and how it made the other finisher look strong and the other in the exact opposite light. They did the exact opposite for Shingo, as I thought. And I didn't really like that. I wanted him
Shingo's
to have his moment.
Never really protected his finisher either.
I wanted him to have his moment. I was hoping he came over on this one. I thought he could have used the Wrestle Kingdom moment more than Okada. He gets it every fucking year. You know, he gets his Wrestle Kingdom. He gets his, the close out the
I
show.
I think the storyline was obvious to go to Ospreay Okada after the injury because that's what they were building to before. And I think that's why Okada got it. But I would have much rather them pivoted and give it to Shingo just for the moment. And then you can go back to Ospreay beating Shingo and then go back to revisit Okada later. I don't think Okada needed a one-day title reign, especially since he's the greatest champion in New Japan history, at least kayfabe wise anyway.
Yeah. I love his matches are always good. Can't complain, but you know,
all time great worker.
Yeah, to me though, I made a joke in the chat. I was like, so he's basically Japanese John Cena, right? And people were getting mad at me, and I'm like, he always has been, right? I was like, how is that not he does more moves than Cena. I'm like, not the fact that like that, but just like the way that
as a worker, he's more Randy Orton, but booking standpoint, he's more Cena.
Persona, you know, like that, like the stature and status or whatever.
Although Orton wouldn't be a bad booking comparison either.
It depends upon what era of that you're comparing it with.
Yeah, it's true. Like,
anything the last 10 years, I would venture to say I think you're very wrong. But yeah, no, I mean, I kind of felt that whole match is just like, well, when's Okada going to hit the Rainmaker?
It was a fine match.
Yeah, like, I knew he was going to win.
Fundamentally sound match with good psychology, yeah. Other than the two kickouts.
But I think I was just disappointed. I wanted Shingo to have his moment instead of another Okada-Russell Cage.
The result was underwhelming.
Yeah. And then I didn't. I was trying to follow the promo at the end. He cut the promo afterwards. I think he was just talking about the belts and why there were so many different IWGP titles right now, and why he decided to bring back the one he was wearing right then, and what it meant, and all.
I didn't even try to follow it.
we were trying to go over it. That's one of the things I was hanging around and listening to and chatting it up, and before I kicked out of there to come in here, just to see where they were going with that, but. Show ended it right at 7 a.m., man. It was 5 hours. So, you know, it is what it is. What were your big takeaways?
Refreshing about that main event?
What's that?
The fact it didn't go 20 minutes too long with a 50-minute timestamp.
Because New Japan's
fallen into that trap since they've been trying to recreate that Kenny Okada magic with these long-winded. But as you're not going to get a Kenny Okada match because it's not Kenny, you know.
Yeah, I mean match went 35 minutes and 44 seconds, so they got
what it needed to be.
I was thinking it was probably going to be more like 45, but yeah, I mean, 10 more minutes.
I was done. Trent, they're going to go an hour, aren't they? Because New Japan's kind of been doing that with making matches go for 3 years now. They've made main event matches go way too long.
Yeah.
To try and, you know, and and Trent and I have discussed that ad nauseum. So it's kind of one of those things where I just went, I messaged him at 6:15. I went, there's 45 minutes left in this show. They've wrestled for 10 minutes. They're going to make this go 50 minutes, aren't they? I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, me too. It didn't need to be because, with what you were doing for the finish, like with having – I feel like if you were going to have the match go longer, you would have to have Shingo win. You know what I mean? To be like – it to be more impactful and mean something more. To be like, oh, he just kept trying to put him away and cut him. And then in the end, he got beat. But, you know, with it being – having the Okada go over, I think 35 minutes, and you know, you didn't need to go more than that. But it was great. It was a great match. I don't know what day. I don't know what Dave's going to give it ratings wise, but you know, I mean, it didn't disappoint. It was a fun. It was a fun main event. But I just, like I said, I felt like I kind of, I suspected Okada was going to win. There wasn't a point during the match, even when he hit those, when Shingo hit his two finishers in a row. It wasn't really a point where I was like, oh, he might. Like Okada might lose, you know. I never felt that go while you're in the whole match.
Telegraph main events, no matter how good the match is. Like that's part of my issue with Roman Reigns' matches right now. Because Roman Reigns is a great worker who's having the matches of his life right now. But every match, at no point did I ever believe Cesaro was gonna win. So it made it harder for me to get invested into it. Yeah, like, that's not a knock on Roman. It's not a knock on Cesaro. It's a knock on the booking for telegraphing the main event.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
At no point did I think John Cena was going to beat him. And I feel the same way about a majority of Okada's matches. Mm-hmm. And no matter how good Okada is, that takes me out of the match a little bit. It doesn't allow the drama to properly build, which he's great at building drama, as we've seen in so many previous matches. It's just, it's an issue on the booking. It's an indictment on the booking, you know? Yeah. For me, that no matter how good that match was, you were never going to make me believe Shingo Takagi was going to win that match.
Yeah, that's like I said, that's how I felt. But one thing we didn't touch on was the big announcement that they made that New Japan is returning to Access TV on March 3rd.
Yeah, I sent that to the chat. I went, after I'm done covering the show tonight, I'm going to sleep, so somebody else is going to have to take this. Somebody write this
shit up in the morning. Yeah, somebody's going to have to edit it. Somebody
needs to get that up soon.
Oh, hopefully somebody's going to be around to edit, or I'm not going to be able to sleep, because I know you're taking a nap and going to sleep, and that just leaves me unless somebody else is around. So hopefully.
Jaina?
I'm not. She's got stuff to do. She's a kid. She's got school, man. Oh, that's true.
I always forget about that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, dude.
It's Tuesday. She's got school. Yeah.
But what that announcement made me question when we were talking about in the watch along is I was like, is it going to be like new stuff, like current New Japan, or is it going to be like the old series was, where it's like months prior recaps?
Like, you know, we know, like, Jim Ross hadn't been with you in a year. Why is Jim Ross on your television program? Right now?
So that was the kind of stuff that I love
Jim Ross.
It.
He's my favorite announcer ever. So I'm not knocking Jim Ross, but it's just like, why am I going to watch a show if I've seen it?
Yeah. So that's going to determine how much I get excited for their return to Access TV. It all just depends on what we're going to be seeing, if it's going to be something current or if it's going to be just like it was before, like a best of and recap filler of what you've seen over the last year, and it's nothing actually like building up and leading up to what you've got going on with their next shows. Which, so I don't know, we'll find out more, I'm sure, coming up on that. But that was the big, that was really the only big announcement or any surprise was that. I think they Tetsumi Fujinami show. Yeah, Tetsumi Fujinami showing up in the Rambo was like about the biggest surprise of the night.
That was cool for me.
That was really cool. But
night two usually gets the bigger surprise, but I think they're gonna go all out on Saturday when they have the dual promotion, because it's the first time ever head to head type thing. I think we'll see a couple surprises there. The surprises we would have gotten for night one.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna do a night three post show, because Saturday, like I said, we got a lot of stuff happening Saturday. That's Battle for the Belts. Yeah. I think that's Impact Wrestling on Saturday as well.
Hard to kill, right?
Yeah, Hard to Kill. So I don't know. I know we're doing there'll be a post show for Battle for the Belts, but it's only a 1 hour show, so it's probably over early. So we might do it. I don't know. We'll see. We might have a post show for the third night too. I don't know. But I know we're going to have one tomorrow night.
I can't work tomorrow night, but if you need me for anything Saturday night,
I'll be at Battle for the Belts, so by the time I get home, I'll probably be up and watch it. So we'll figure
it out. Actually, Saturday night is actually Friday night, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it's the eighth.
So it's Saturday morning. It's Saturday morning, Friday night. Yeah. So
if you need me for something that night, let me know.
Well, we'll figure it out. But yeah, guys, I appreciate everybody. We had a pretty good turnout. I appreciate everybody sticking with us and watching us talk about tonight's Wrestle Kingdom Night 1. It was a fun pay-per-view, I thought. Nothing I really can complain about. It was good. It was what I expected. Good matches all around, top to bottom. Everybody showed out. My man Chase, taking that Rambo, going to the Final Four tomorrow night. And is he better? He better take that or I'm going to riot. But, yeah, everybody, you should show up tomorrow night. We'll do another one of these. If you are watching the show tomorrow, go jump on Fightful's Twitch stream. I'll be on there with the guys over there for Fightful, hanging out, watching night two of Wrestle Kingdom. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. If that's not how you watch your podcast, like I said, you can always subscribe to us on other platforms, your audio ones. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the other ones, Breaker, CastBox, there's a ton of them. I don't even remember, 10 or 12 so far. But if none of those are what you like, let me know. I'll try to make sure the shows get up on your preferred medium. Jameis, just push some plugs. Tell us where we can find you, what you've been doing. Send us home, man, and then I'll wrap it up.
Before I get into what I've been doing, also remember that if you enjoy Body Slam's content, you can help donate so that we can provide more content.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, check it out, slamchats.com. A little donation gimmick if you feel like being nice and contributing.
We also have a Pro Wrestling Tees store.
We have a Pro Wrestling Tees store. If you want to buy some merch, go to Pro Wrestling Tees, type in bodyslam.net, give it a search. We have a few things, generic Body Slam logo shirt, and then a couple little funny ones I got, some that you might like. But, yeah, man, we got some stuff that, you know, for you guys that you might be interested in that way. And it helps us out. We don't have a lot to go around to help everybody, you know, to contribute with everybody, but we're trying. We're getting there. So, yeah, man, if you feel like donating, cool. If not, no worries, man. We're here. We're going to do it regardless. So,
but, for me,
yeah, Jameis.
For me, I've been primarily editing. So, like, I've been trying to figure out stuff to do long term. I had an idea for a new series I'm going to run by you. I've already started reaching out to people for it. So, be on the lookout for that if it works out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off the air.
Other than that, I've been jumping on podcasts here and there.
Good, man. Yeah, we got
nothing too major.
We got Body Slam post shows that happen all the time. I'm sure you'll be all over those for us, man.
Yeah, this is my third in 3 days.
Well, good deal, man. You can find Jameis on Twitter at the Jameis. His handle's right there below his picture, his face there. You can see him. Yeah, man. Just you guys, we appreciate everything you guys do. This is, we do this for you guys. We have fun. We love talking wrestling, hanging out, just chatting it up with you guys. So thank you, everybody. We appreciate it. Like I said, follow us on bodyslam.net, on everything, on Twitter, on Facebook. Just, that's the username. That's the handle, at bodyslamnet. Instagram as well. You can follow me right here at Casshole with 3 O's, CASSHOOOLE. You can find me on Twitter there.
Extra O's is because he's a major casshole.
I emphasize the it's there's a lot of emphasis on the hole. There's a lot of emphasis on the hole. That's gonna get clipped and be a terrible fucking snippet. But yeah, man, appreciate it, guys. Everything you do, I really enjoy and appreciate interacting with all you guys. It means a lot to me. And yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow, man. I'm going to get off here. It's 8 a.m. I'm fucking rambling, guys. Good night. Thank you again.